Hazur says that the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, writes in his book Nuzul al-Masih that God has decreed from the beginning and has declared it as his law and his way, that he and his prophets will always triumph. Therefore, as I am his prophet, that is, I am commissioned by him, although without a new law, or a new claim, or a new name. Rather, I have come in the name of that very noble seal of all the prophets, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and from among him, and his manifestation. This is the reason why I say that just as it has been from ancient time, that is, from the era of Adam, peace be upon him, to that of the era of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, the meaning of this verse has always come true. It will yet again come true in my favor. Hazur says, here the verse that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, is referring to is the verse from the chapter Mujadila of the Holy Quran. That كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. This is the verse. Just a short while ago, somebody wrote to me from Pakistan, although I do not agree with what this person wrote in the letter. Because the snapshot taken by the person writing the letter, in my view, this cannot be made a generality. The person who wrote the letter writes that in the literature of the Jamaat, and also in the publications of the Jamaat, what needs to be emphasized is that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, is a Nabiullah, a prophet of Allah. And the reason for this is that people hesitate from calling the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, as a Nabi, a prophet. Hazur says that in my view, this is badzani or ill-thinking against the members of the Jamaat. This cannot be generalized. It is quite possible that the person who wrote this letter, the people who he keeps company with, the people who he mingles with, due to certain circumstances, may show reluctance or may have considered this view. However, these are but a few people who have been overcome by materialism. They may have fallen victim to compromising themselves. And they would not have even seen or read the instructions of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and in fact they would have not even heard my sermons. I always strive to try that somehow or the other I present the writings of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, and I introduce his station and clarify his rank. Nonetheless, if this issue is in the heart of any person, then every such person who calls himself an Ahmadi, it should be absolutely clear for him that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, according to the prophecy of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a Nabiullah, a prophet of Allah. And if in the heart of any person living anywhere in the world who calls himself an Ahmadi, there is any kind of doubt or reluctance, then they should remove that. As the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says in his extract himself, which I have just read out, that he is a messenger of Allah, but he has come without any new law. And the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest of all prophets, he has come in his following and in his name. And he has come according to the prophecy, وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ, this prophecy of the Holy Quran. With reference to the Ahmadis of Pakistan, or the Ahmadis of Indonesia, they are being suppressed in this cycle of persecution because they say, why do they call the Prophet Messiah alayhi salam as a prophet? Why do they consider him as a Nabiullah? So apart from just a few people who are timid or reluctant, generally, normally, Pakistani Ahmadis, it cannot be said regarding them that they believe the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, to not be a prophet. In fact, our opponents exaggerate. And they allege against Ahmadis that, God forbid, Ahmadis consider the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, to be the final prophet. Whereas no Ahmadi at all could ever consider at any time that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is not the final prophet, and rather someone else is the final law-bearing prophet, or that anybody could be greater in status or rank than the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. It is the splendor and glory of the Holy Prophet ﷺ that is expressed by an Ahmadi, and is the faith and the belief of every Ahmadi, that Allah the Almighty granted him that excellent and most lofty status, that elevated rank, which gives his followers, which gives those who love him, and which gives those who truly obey and submit to him. And which that person who proudly follows him, Allah the Almighty grants such a person the status of Nubuwwat, prophethood. But anyhow, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is the Khatamun Nabiyeen, the seal of all prophets. And the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in complete following of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a Nabiullah, the Prophet of Allah. If we do not believe the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, to be a Nabiullah, a Prophet of Allah, then our claim will be incorrect, that the revival of Islam and the victory of Islam will be through Ahmadiyyat, that is, a true Islam. Because the promise and the pledge of Allah of the victory is with the Rasul, the Messenger of Allah. This has been made clear in this verse. The victory of Islam has not been linked with any reformer or mujaddid. In fact, it has been linked with that jamaat of believers. The promise of the victory in the latter days is with that jamaat who represent the verse وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمَّا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ. This is why the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, admonished the believers and advised them that when the advent of the Messiah and the Mahdi occurs, then even if you have to crawl through ice-bound mountains, and you should go through it and convey my salam or my greetings of peace to him. Why? This is because through this, you will be able to strengthen your own faith. And also, that victory of Islam, that final battle for it that is going to be fought, which will not be with the sword, nor will it be with guns. Rather, it was going to be fought with arguments and logic. So partake in that. And be those who follow me and obey me and submit to me truly, and those who attain the pleasure of Allah. And become those who are deemed true believers. So therefore, Ahmadis believed in the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. And they believed because knowing that if you bond with him, you would be able to strengthen your belief in Allah and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and witness the victory of Islam. And this should also be remembered, that if the promised Messiah alayhi salam is not a prophet, then Khilafat would not exist either. Because Khilafat is attached to prophethood. This is because Khilafat was to be Minhaj an-Nubuwwah, that is, on the precepts of prophethood. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam was the Khatam al-Khulafa, and due to his being Khatam al-Khulafa, he attained the rank of prophethood. After him then, through him, the sequence of Khilafat began. So therefore, the system of the Jamaat is a continuation. And Khilafat can only be linked in that circumstance when you consider the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, to be a prophet, and when you accept him and believe him to be a prophet. On one occasion, some people came before the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, to take the bet, the pledge of allegiance. So, to strengthen their faith, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, provided detailed guidance and admonishment. The summary of this advice was that the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, said that just a verbal profession of bet, pledge of allegiance, is insufficient. In fact, the bet should be from the heart, and when this happens, then you will witness the promises of Allah the Almighty be fulfilled. The person who performs the bet, the pledge of allegiance, he desires, and in reality, his ardent wish is that after the bet, he should inculcate a pious reformation from within. The people who perform the bet in the current time also testify to this change. They keep on increasing in spirituality. Many people who take the bet, the pledge of allegiance, they mention this within their letters. In fact, the pious transformation that occurs within them, it also affects others who see it, and it influences them as well. Wives and children become astonished that what was this person before and what has he become now? What is this revolution that has occurred within him? So this is the true type of pledge of allegiance, which inculcates pious reformation. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam also advised those people who took the bet, the pledge of allegiance, that do not associate your bet with any worldly or materialistic objective. In fact, improve your deeds, improve your manner, and then see how Allah the Almighty does not leave you without reward and without blessing. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam said that after the bet, do not become worried or concerned. Difficulties will arise. However, slowly and gradually, a true believer overcomes all such difficulties and anguishes. Because it is the promise of Allah the Almighty that me and my Prophet will be victorious and will become dominant. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam said that the weapon for us becoming victorious is istighfar, repentance, tawbah, religious knowledge, also keeping in view the greatness of Almighty Allah, performing the prayers 5 times daily. The promised Messiah alayhi salam said that prayer is the key to the acceptance of prayer. When you perform the prayer, or if you perform the prayer, then pray within it, and do not be negligent in terms of prayer, and from every kind of vice, whether it relates to the rights due to Allah or the rights due to mankind. Save yourself from every kind of vice. So Hazur says, we should always keep in mind this most important advice at all times. This advice was not meant just for new Ahmadis who have just recently joined or entered into the community. In fact, it is for every single Ahmadi. And however long a person has been an Ahmadi for, correspondingly there should be an increase in spirituality. So the old Ahmadi should be striving more than those Ahmadis who have come new to implement these things. What is istighfar, seeking forgiveness? It is seeking forgiveness for your past sins and coming into the protection of Allah, so that you can continuously be under his protection. What is tawbah? Repentance. It is that all those vices that one is engrossed in, to dislike it, and then to make a complete and firm resolution to safeguard oneself from those vices. And then asking and seeking help from Allah to remain steadfast on implementing that, so much so that nothing can shake him away from it. Then there is knowledge of religious issues. First of all amongst this is the Holy Qur'an. Then in light of the Holy Qur'an and the correct hadith, it is the teachings of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. It is his books, his writings and his various guidelines. Which actually provide to the world the correct teachings and the beautiful teachings of Islam through argument and logic, in comparison to which no other religion can stand up, that is to Islam. Because it is Islam alone that is the perfect, final and complete religion. Then there is the greatness of Allah. If you keep in view the greatness of Allah, this would mean that this belief and faith would be within, that it is Allah alone who created every single thing and who fulfills every single need and wish. And in the heavens and the earth, whatever exists, Allah the Almighty's perfect knowledge has encompassed all of it. He is our Lord, and life and death are in His hands. And He has power over all things. He is present everywhere, and He is watching over us at every single moment. So if one keeps this in mind, he could never perform such a deed which would be against the will and desire of Allah. And if this greatness is established in your hearts of what Allah is, then your attention towards performing the five daily prayers will remain. In fact, that will naturally be inculcated within you. That is, that attention to perform this. It will also lead your attention towards prayers. And because of the promise of Allah, because of this increasing relationship, your faith would also increase. In fact, it would go on strengthening. And regarding the formal prayer, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam said, it is a key for all prayers. The formal prayer is that essential prayer which brings a person nearer to Allah. And also establishes a live, living relationship between man and God. So therefore, performing the prayers and performing it on time is a teaching of the Holy Quran. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, specially emphasized this to his community. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam also gave great emphasis towards this. When a person implements these issues, then he will also draw his attention towards fulfilling the rights due to Allah and also fulfilling the rights due to mankind. So therefore, the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, if you inculcate these revolutionary changes within you, then you will also be a part of that victory, which is destined with the advent of the Promised Messiah, alayhi salam. It is linked with his coming. There is no doubt whatsoever that according to the promises of Almighty Allah, Allah the Almighty will grant the Promised Messiah alayhi salam victory. However, we have been admonished, and the Promised Messiah alayhi salam said, the weapon for us becoming victorious are such and such issues. And if you adopt these things, then you will also be a part of that victory. Otherwise, you are Ahmadi by name. However, you will not practically be an Ahmadi. So therefore, every single one of us must strive to become practically that type of Ahmadi who can partake in the victory of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam's disposition. With regard to this victory, Allah the Almighty provided a glad tiding to the Promised Messiah alayhi salam in so many places. And every new day that dawns upon the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, we witness these glad tidings be fulfilled. The intensity with which the Jamaat is being opposed, if this was the work of any man, that is the Jamaat, then it would not be able to walk even one step. Not just one step, even being alive for 1 minute would be difficult. But these are the promises of Allah. And therefore all obstacles, all hindrances, all oppositions, despite all of it, Jamaat Ahmadiyya is going towards progress and advancement. Allah the Almighty, by way of revelation, provided the Promised Messiah alayhi salam with a glad tiding of progress. We need to remember at all times that the glad tidings of Almighty Allah are entirely true, and the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. The destiny of his Jamaat is definitely victory. But when Allah the Almighty provides glad tidings, then those who believe, his followers also have a responsibility upon them. There are certain obligations which are placed upon those followers and those who have accepted, and it is necessary for people to discharge that. So Allah the Almighty says that main teri tabligh ko zameen ke kinaron tak pahunchaunga, that I shall cause thy message to reach the corners of the earth. Definitely, Allah the Almighty is carrying out this work, and in this era and in this time, Allah the Almighty made MTA a means of this, and this is a significant means of fulfilling this. And this message of Allah, that it should reach the corners of the earth, that is the message of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that it should reach the corners of the earth, and MTA is fulfilling the right of doing this. However, if we place machines of MTA and just sit back and relax, and we do not carry out any work or make any efforts, we do not make any program, we do not record anything, and we do not organize tabligh programs, then the means which Allah the Almighty has provided, by not utilizing those, by not implementing those, we would be depriving ourselves, and we would not be benefiting from them, those means that Allah has provided Himself. The literature that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has granted and provided us, we should benefit from it. If we do not benefit and convey it forward, if we do not spread it, then we would not be discharging our obligations, and then we would become sinners. Although Allah the Almighty is going to carry out this work, if not through us, then somebody else. However, if we do not utilize the means that Allah the Almighty has provided, then we would be sinners. It has never happened in the world that a prophet or his community, after the promises of Almighty Allah, left all work. And just sat down and relaxed. Who was more beloved than the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Allah? However, when Allah the Almighty gave him the promise of overcoming the governments of King Kisra, then the companions also had to make efforts and strive in this regard. They had to give sacrifices. The enemies of Islam, considering the Muslims to be nothing, and wanted to crush them. In the eyes of the world, those who were apparently lowly or weak, the companions of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, were immersed in the treasure of faith, who were those who performed repentance and sought forgiveness, who would perform prayers with such beauty that one would be envious looking at them, who had the greatness of Allah embedded within their hearts. No worldly splendor of glory, or no pomp or show of the kings had any significance before them. In order to fulfill this promise of Allah, they discharged their responsibilities, and they brought down the echelons of Kisra and shook it to the ground, and their government was totally and utterly annihilated. They made efforts, they made sacrifices, and because of this, they attained all of this. They had the belief and the faith. He who had established that strong faith within them, perhaps those other people, those other kings had worldly power, and they were larger in numbers. However, this cannot alter anything of ours, because it is the promise of Allah that this will be attained, and we must make efforts. We must strive, and then Allah will help us. So the promise was going to be fulfilled, However, these were their efforts, that if it is fulfilled through our hands, then we would be those who attain the pleasure of Allah. So this should be our state today. We should have the belief that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has the promises of Allah with him and they will surely be fulfilled. If we include our humble efforts in order to fulfill these promises. If we are those who understand the significance of our responsibilities, then we would be those who attain the pleasure of Almighty Allah. Every Ahmadi, every worker needs to strive to understand and also to implement these responsibilities. I will present some of the prophecies of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. There are innumerable prophecies and promises. In Tadhkiratul Shahadatain, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, O all people, let it be known that this is a prophecy of one who has created the heavens and the earth. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, continues, This is the prophecy of one who has created the heavens and the earth. He will spread his jamaat or community in all the countries and will grant them triumph over everyone through the spirit of proof and reasoning. Those days will come, in fact they are close, by when this will be the only religion in the world which will be evoked with honor. God will place immense and extraordinary blessing in this religion. And every person who wishes to annihilate it will be disgraced. And this triumph will always remain until the day of judgment will itself come. Rasul says, this is that determined belief that the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has expressed, and he was steadfast on this belief. And the reason for this firm faith is that when Allah the Almighty had said that he would do this, then there would be no doubt left in it, that he would definitely carry this out. And now the victory of Islam will only occur through Jamaat Ahmadiyya, and inshallah, God enabling, this will most surely come to pass. We see how Allah the Almighty, regarding this prophecy, has fulfilled it, and he is continuing to make it come true. This is a reference from 1903. Although Jamaat Ahmadiyya was introduced outside of India at that time, it could not be said that Jamaat was spreading as such. However, today, with the grace of Almighty Allah, Jamaat Ahmadiyya has reached 198 countries of the world. And in practically every single country of the world, Jamaat Ahmadiyya has been introduced in some way or the other. So therefore, that God who through Ahmadiyyat has spread the message of Islam and is continuing to spread the message of Islam, he will also fulfill the next part of this prophecy. Sometimes the opponents of Islam become the means of spreading Ahmadiyyat. And sometimes this opposition leads the good-natured people towards Ahmadiyyat. Apparently, they are opposing people to remove people and further people away from Ahmadiyyat. However, righteous people, pious people, it draws their attention towards it. And the message of Ahmadiyyat, of love and affection, it is attracting the attention of the world. Our humble and very small services of humanity, it is also drawing the attention and attracting the people of the world. Sometimes through revelations and visions, Allah the Almighty introduces people to Ahmadiyyat. And the world is coming to recognize the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Then the arguments that are with the Jamaat, which are being attained directly from Almighty Allah and the promised Messiah alayhi salam, has then subsequently taught us this argument, this logic, this reasoning. When the world sees it through MTA, it brings their attention further towards us. The enemies of Islam make every single effort to ensure that people do not watch MTA. Without any distinction, in every single Islamic country of the world, the Maulvi and the so-called scholars, they say to the people that do not watch MTA, because this will cause your faith to corrupt. God forbid, you'll be influenced by their disbelief. However, those people who have the truth opened up to them, they say if these people are wrong, then rebut them with arguments. By forcibly stopping them, this means you have no arguments. And Islamic teaching does not say that without reasoning, without logic, you should say anything. So therefore, this is the glory and this is the splendor of Allah the Almighty's prophecy and promises being fulfilled, that slowly but gradually, through this humble servant of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, Allah the Almighty is bringing the people under the feet of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and establishing them under Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. Therefore, it is the duty of every Ahmadi to understand his obligation. It is not that it is the promise of Allah, therefore it will come to pass. And what do we need to do anything? However big the promise is, however big the glad tiding is, if you want to partake in that, then however big that promise is, correspondingly our responsibility is just as significant. We must partake by fulfilling the duty of the rights of Allah as much as possible. We must remove all our selfish egos and partake in fulfilling the rights due to mankind as much as possible. For Dawatullah, inviting people towards Allah, we must use our capabilities, our knowledge. We must strive, and we must use all of this to partake in these efforts as much as possible. It is only then that in this pious disposition, in those great blessings, we can actually partake in it and benefit from it. In one place, Allah the Almighty reveals the glad tiding to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that لَا تَعِسُوا مِنْ خَزَائِنِ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّي إِنَّا أَعْتَيْنَكَ الْكَوْسَرِ, that despair not of the treasures of Allah's mercy, we have bestowed upon you abundance of every kind of good. So therefore, with regard to the state of the Muslims and the state of Islam, the great anxiety that the promised Messiah alayhi salam had about it, Allah the Almighty removed that anxiety and said that despair not of the treasures of Allah's mercy. We have bestowed upon you abundance of every kind of good, and we have destined this for you. That abundance of every kind of good given to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that will also be given to the people of the latter days through you, and will continue to be given. And now the fountain of the blessings of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, will once again sprout through you. So therefore be joyous and be extremely happy that the treasure of Allah's mercy has once again with a new splendor and glory opened its doors. Their doors will be opened. And he who enters to partake of this treasure, he will be able to immerse himself in it. The unrest and anxiety seen amongst the Muslim nowadays. And some people do have a realization and seriousness about religion, but they have no guidance. They do not see the right path, and then they have to be frustrated. And this frustration increases their anxiety and restlessness, and then leads them to a wrong path. So therefore, such people need to understand and realize And those people who can convey the message to them need to convey that message, that this fountain of abundance, Allah through His chosen one, the great lover of the beloved one of Allah, who because of this love attained the status of a follower prophet, Allah the Almighty has made that fountain sprout again once again. So therefore, if you want this frustration to come to an end, then come into the fold of this Messiah and Mahdi and bond with him and eliminate your frustrations. Because this is that help and support of Allah that you wait for. Ponder deeply and observe that all powers are trying to suppress the voice of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and have united for this effort. For more than 100 years they have united in this effort. However, can this voice be extinguished? As I have stated before, that this voice is spreading to the corners of the earth, and with great splendor and glory this voice is resounding all over the world, and inshallah, God enabling, it will continue resounding. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in his favor, mentions the sign of the earthquakes and says in one place that remember that after these signs come to pass, this will not be the end. In fact, many such signs will continue to manifest one after the other, to the extent that the eyes of the people will open and they will be astonished and say, "What is happening?" Every day will be much worse and harsh than the previous. Allah the Almighty says, "I will make astonishing things come to pass and I will not stop them until people do not reform their hearts." Hazur says, "Today we see that every single country is immersed with natural calamities. If the world considers this just a natural occurrence, which happens after a certain amount of time, this is what the scientists or the worldly people say. If they keep on ignoring this as such, and they do not incline towards the Creator, then they must remember that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, with his era, these natural calamities and signs are deeply linked. These calamities will continue immersing the entire world. So therefore, in order to warn the world, it is the responsibility of every single Ahmadi that where he gives attention towards his own reformation and strengthening of faith, he must also make full efforts to convey this message. He must make complete efforts to bring the world closer to Allah. This is an extremely important task which has been placed upon us as a responsibility. As we introduce the Jamaat with reference to its love and affection, the next message is this, that this heartfelt love and affection and peace, this requires and demands from us that we must make efforts to prevent the world from being destroyed. We must make the world recognize its Lord, so that they can be safeguarded and protected from these calamities. And we should make their people recognize that purpose for which Allah the Almighty created mankind. In order to draw their attention towards the purpose of creation, Allah the Almighty sends these calamities from time to time. If the world does not recognize this, then these calamities will continue going on, as the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has stated. This task of warning the world, today this is the job of Jamaat Ahmadiyya. It is no one else who will do this. Because today, the promised Messiah alayhi salam alone has been sent in the servitude of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and granted that status by Allah the Almighty, which is of special nearness and love by Allah. In fact, in one revelation, addressing the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wa salam, peace be upon him, Allah the Almighty grants him the status of the son of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, God says, Inni ma'aka ya abna Rasulullah, that I am with you, O son of the Messenger of Allah. So Hazur says that the promised Messiah alayhi salam is the spiritual son of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was to complete the mission of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And this is also the responsibility of the followers of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that if they want to be with Allah, if they want to be the recipient of Allah's blessings, then they need to carry out the work of tabligh, the propagation of the faith, more than before. The intensity with which, in the past few years, natural calamities have struck the earth. Correspondingly, we must use our energy to warn the world. In particular, we need to make the Muslims understand. With this revelation, there is another revelation, that gathered together all the Muslims on the earth in one faith, that is, ala deen-e wahid. So Hazur says, although this revelation was given directly to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, he carried out this work, and he carried out successfully. However, this is also the duty of his followers. It is our responsibility to convey this message as well. Although in certain Muslim countries, there are strict restrictions and prohibitions upon Ahmadis, we cannot convey our message properly, we cannot preach openly. So-called clergy and scholars, they place obstacles and hindrances to prevent people from hearing this message. However, when one path is closed, then through wisdom another path can be opened. When it is closed in one country, then other attentions can be given attention. If Ahmadis are not permitted to perform direct propagation of the faith in these countries, then through MTA, Allah has provided the means, and with the grace of Almighty Allah, despite all these obstacles and hindrances, the bleak propagation of the faith is occurring, the message is reaching, and with the grace of Allah, beds, that is, initiations, are occurring. Then there are countries where there are not legal laws or restrictions as such against us. But then there is still opposition from some clergy. But even amongst them there are righteous and pious people who come to our gatherings, they listen and watch our programs, and they are being inclined towards Ahmadiyyat. So in such place where there are not governmental laws against us, the people's attention is being drawn towards us in certain Muslim countries, in particular in Africa. So therefore in such places our efforts must be more than before. In every place, this is the work of the Nizam of the Jamaat, the system of the Jamaat. In countries of Africa, Imams along with their congregation are coming into the fold of the Jamaat, the community. And this is a divine doing. It is Allah alone who transforms the hearts. Ours are only humble efforts. Explaining this revelation, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says, he says that this matter that gather together all the Muslims on the earth into one faith, ala deen-e wahid, this is a special commandment. Commandments are of two kinds. One relates to the Sharia, for example, observe prayer or pay the zakat, or do not kill others, etc., etc. There is a prophecy entailed in such commandments, that there would be people who would disobey this command. That is, Hazur says, these are instructions. However, these are instructions in which there is a hidden prophecy entailed, that there would be people who would not carry this out. And this is why the instruction has been given that carry this out. Special emphasis has been given here. The promised Messiah alayhi salam said, as the Jews were told, that do not alter the Old Testament. So this was to suggest that there would be some amongst them who would alter it. And this is what happened. So in short, this commandment, it relates to the Sharia. The promised Messiah alayhi salam said the second commandment is national, and these relate to the direct decree of Allah. For example, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرَدًا وَسَلَامًا, that we said, O fire, be you cold and a means of safety, that is, for Abraham, peace be upon him. And this is what came to pass. This happened exactly. And this matter mentioned in this prophecy is of the same kind, that Allah the Almighty so desires that Muslims on the earth gather together into one faith. It is correct. This does not mean that there would be no differences between them. There would be differences, but these differences would be such, would not be worthy of even mentioning. So Azur said, the explanation of this revelation has been given by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. And it entails a glad tiding that this commandment is amongst Allah the Almighty's Kuni commandments. That is, those commandments that when Allah the Almighty says Kun, that is, Allah the Almighty says, when I say Kun, be, then it comes into existence. So this is amongst those commandments which Allah the Almighty has said, Kun, be. Kun does not mean Allah the Almighty said, Kun, be, and immediately it happens after the revelation. But in fact, according to the law of the natures which is in place, that is, this will occur according to however much Allah's wisdom so requires it. But the result will always be in its favor. As Allah the Almighty said, Kun, be. And when a baby is born, then however long it takes for that baby to be born, it does take according to law of natures. It is not that Kun is said, B is said, and then the baby is born in 1 or 2 minutes. However long it needs to be taken, it does take. There is a whole process, and this whole process is according to Allah's commandment of Kun, B. So here there should be no misunderstanding whatsoever. Allah's decree has written it that Muslims would gather under one banner, that is, under one religion, and that process has already come into action. And slowly but gradually, from amongst the Muslims and from among every sect of the Muslims, people are coming into the fold of the community of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. So therefore, there is no need to be concerned or worried that in the Muslim countries, Ahmadis are considered as third-class citizens. And how can Muslims join us? Or how can those countries become a part of us? As the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam said, that this is a decree of Almighty Allah. This is how it will come to pass, and this will definitely come to pass. Perhaps today we have difficulties placed upon us. And from the Muslims, they place difficulty upon us. But inshallah, from amongst them, drops of love will emanate and we will observe this. So therefore, those who are weak of faith, they should remain steadfast on this belief and faith. And those who are materialistic or worldly, or those people who have become affected by worldliness to some extent, they should also keep in mind that the decree of Allah will be dominant and will overcome. So there is no reason whatsoever that in any place or anywhere we should show any kind of weakness or we should be embarrassed or we should be concerned by the opposition of the opponents or that if we express our faith what will occur with us. These difficulties do happen, and a believer does not consider this more significant than even the prick of a needle. We cannot stop our work out of these difficulties. We cannot hide our faith. The majority of the Ahmadis of Pakistan, in fact 99.99% of Ahmadis in Pakistan, despite facing fierce storms of opposition, with great courage they face all of these difficulties. And the Ahmadis of Pakistan and Indonesia, and in fact the Ahmadis anywhere where opposition against the Jamaat is taking place and a storm of opposition occurs, it is the sacrifice of these Ahmadis where new routes of the propagation of the faith are opening up for Jamaat in other places of the world. And you will see that the Muslim world and the non-Muslim world will come to be attached with the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. And through that attachment alone, they will present that gathering under the one religion. This is the promise of Allah. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, says in one place that Allah the Exalted has repeatedly informed me that He will give me much greatness, that He will give me much greatness, and shall inculcate my love in hearts, and will spread my mission over the entire earth, and shall give my sect triumph over all other sects. People of my sect will acquire excellence in knowledge and spiritual cognizance, to a degree that they will silence everyone with the light of their truthfulness and with their reasoning and signs. Hazur said, this is an incredible and tremendous glad tiding which links with Islam being dominant and victorious over the world. It is our responsibility that we need to strengthen our faith and continuously do so. We need to ensure our worship is correct. We need to increase our connection with Allah, and through the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that work for the revival of Islam that was to happen and is occurring, you need to keep on being his helper and servant in this regard, so that us and our future generations can always be those who received Allah's blessings. May Allah grant us the ability to do so. Today, after the Friday prayers, I will lead some funeral prayers. One funeral prayer of Sahibzada Rashid Latif Sahib Rashidi of America. He passed away on 27th April in Los Angeles. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. He was the paternal grandson of Hazrat Sahibzada Abdul Latif Sahib Shaheed, and he was also the son of Sahibzada Muhammad Tayyib Latif Sahib. He attained early education from Bono, and he also studied in Talim al-Islam College in Lahore. He then went to Afghanistan and stayed there for some time. He had a deep connection with Jamaat. Members of the Jamaat would come to his house to perform the congregational prayer. In 1965, he went to America and he studied there further, and he settled in USA. He was for some time the Sadr or the President of the Seattle Jamaat. For some time he was living in California. He often gave speeches at the Jalsa Salana. In 2005 he went to Jalsa Salana Qadian, and he also had the opportunity to deliver a speech there. Under the instruction of Hadrat Khalifa al-Masih IV, may Allah have mercy on him, he translated Tadhkaratu Shahadatain in the regional Afghan language. Apart from his wife, he is left with one daughter and two sons. May Allah elevate his rank. The second funeral will be of Mubarak Mahmood Sahib, who was a missionary. He passed away on 4th May after a long illness at the age of 42. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. In 1989, he graduated from Jamia, and for 9 years he served in various cities as a missionary in Pakistan. Then he went to Tanzania, and for 8 years he served there. In Tanzania, he suffered cancer, and then he went back to Pakistan where he was treated. He also worked in a Swahili desk in Wakalat e Tasnif. Despite his illness, he worked with great diligence. And despite the pain and suffering of this ailment, this disease, he passed through it with great patience. He never uttered any word of disgratitude. He always was cheerful, he would always smile, and he would meet people in this manner. He was also a Musi. He leaves behind, apart from his wife, 3 sons and also his parents who survive him. He also had 4 brothers. Saif Ali Shahid Sahib Amir Zila Mirpur Khas was his father. He was also the nephew of Haider Ali Zafar Sahib, who is the missionary in charge, Germany. The third funeral prayer of Muzaffar Ahmed Sahib, son of Mia Munawar Ahmed Sahib of Shekhupura. Muzaffar Ahmed Sahib, Farzana Jabin Sahiba Aziza Amtul Noor Sahiba Azizam Walid Ahmed Azizam Tasawwur Ahmed. this entire family were traveling on the motorbike from Faisalabad to Jinjhad when there was an accident, and the whole family became the beloved of Allah. Surely to Allah we belong, and to Him we shall return. The children were of ages 6, 4 and 2. The companion of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, Mia Shaban Ahmed Sahib, they were from his family, who travelled to Qadian because of a dream and accepted Ahmadiyyat. Muzaffar Ahmed Sahib himself was Qaid Khudam al-Ahmadiyya and also the Nigran Halka Secretary Noor Mubayin, that is, helping deal with the new Ahmadis. Before he passed away, he was Secretary Tariq-e-Jadid, Secretary Islam Rashad and Nazim Atfal. He provided services in all these capacities. He was a very truthful and honest person, and also desirous of justice. He was very sincere and devout. The Sayyid Wala Mosque was being constructed, so along with his team, he played a major role there. Due to major restrictions, they have to be very careful there. In 2001, there was somebody martyred there as well. He also was a prisoner in the way of Allah for some time. He was also a Musi. He is left behind with two sisters and four brothers. Similarly, the wife is left with her father, Sheikh Fazlul Karim Sahib of Lahore, and also six sisters and four brothers. May Allah the Almighty elevate the station of all of them and also grant them forgiveness.